The Hard Shoulder on News Talk
with Nissan. Let's go the distance by keeping our distance. Nissan. Innovation that excites.
Well, it's always a pleasure to welcome Guardian columnist and expert on media matters, Roy Greenslade. He's not talking to us from sunny Donegal. He made the mistake of moving to Brighton just before, but it's a great pleasure to talk to him because we wanted to chat about this BBC Newsnight spat as such. So if you're listening on Tuesday night, Emily Maitlis opened the programme with this.
Good evening. Dominic Cummings broke the rules. The country can see that. And it shocked the government cannot. The longer ministers and Prime Minister tell us he worked within them, the more angry the response to this scandal is likely to be. He was the man, remember, who always got the public mood, who tagged the lazy label of elite on those who disagreed. He should understand that public mood now, one of fury, contempt and anguish. He made those who struggle to keep to the rules feel like fools and has allowed many more to assume they can now flout them. The Prime Minister knows all this, but despite the resignation of one minister, growing unease from his backbenchers, a dramatic early warning from the polls, and a deep national disquiet, Boris Johnson has chosen to ignore it. Tonight we consider what this blind loyalty tells us about the workings of Number 10.
All right. Roy, first of all, that was Tuesday night. Emily didn't appear presenting last night, she said, of her own volition. What happened to the BBC management or authority? Did they reprimand her?
Well, we don't know if they reprimanded her. I imagine that there'll be an investigation also into her editor, because she wouldn't have done this just off her own back. It would have been a case of agreeing the script in advance with the editor, Esme Wren, who has issued a tweet today suggesting that she was across it. So I imagine they will then talk to them. You will note that the BBC have not apologised for what happened. They've merely stated that she broke their guidelines on impartiality. Interesting that they haven't actually said sorry. I guess they'll wait until there's an investigation to decide how they act after that.
So how do you think this will play out?
Well, look, Emily Maitlis was reflecting the majoritarian view of the British people. We're looking at poll figures at the moment running about 79-80% against Dominic Cummings for doing what he did, against the Prime Minister for retaining him as his chief advisor. So I would say that she's got the people behind her, but probably the elite and those who are really concerned about trust and the BBC are alarmed by this unusual departure. Think of it this way, Ivan. This is a collision of unprecedented events we are living through. There's the unprecedented event of the coronavirus pandemic. Then there's the unprecedented event of a chief advisor to the Prime Minister breaking quite clear rules, and then the Prime Minister deciding that he's going to retain him on his staff. And then comes, in response to that unprecedented two events, the unprecedented event of a BBC presenter being extraordinarily partisan in addressing the nation. So it is a collision of these extraordinary events which has really led to this crisis for the BBC.
Like, I open my show usually with a bit of a rant that would have so much baggage and toxic criticisms in it that it wouldn't last 5 seconds. But in terms of public service broadcasters, could I put it to you? Because I notice, and I'll be quite blunt about this, that in relation to the Irish state broadcaster, journalists who I have the highest regard for have reduced themselves to supine, deferential, green flag wearers in giving ministers, you know, the opportunity to express public service things, which may in the fullness of time be deeply controversial. In other words, RTE needs a 30 million bailout, and therefore is it not the case the BBC is beholden to the government for moolah?
Absolutely. And a lot of people have pointed out that at the moment the BBC has been locked into a titanic struggle with the previous Tory administration and definitely with Boris's administration over their funding, over how they're funded in future. And they are picking up the cost of television licenses for the over 75s. Their budgets have been cut. There is a possibility they're going to lose a station. So all the time they're looking over their shoulder at what the government are doing. And although it's fair to say they haven't apologized, that is an unusually supine apology we saw issued in relation to Emily. That said, I still feel that the BBC have behaved pretty well on this occasion. I mean, I have thought that their main political correspondents have been pretty soft on the government of late, and Emily Maitlis has clearly stood out against that. I think she'll have a lot of support in the country for what she did.
Does that matter, though? Because the court of public opinion isn't a kind of, it's a very kind of ephemeral thing. Tell me about Emily Maitlis herself, because I've watched her. Like, is she like kind of Andrew Neil, kind of one of these hard-hitting people whose, you know, stock in trade is to be controversial, to be a shock jock? Or is she actually just a straight-up journo? Because we remember her interview with Prince Andrew.
Yeah, no, she's a pretty good interviewer, actually. She inherited this lead position from the famous Jeremy Paxman. And she's tough in her interviews. She does cross-question people. So there's nothing unusual about that. She's got a good record as a journalist, good record as a presenter. So I don't think this was that extraordinary. She could have hedged it about. You probably realize that in listening to it, Ivan. She could have said, the people think, or the public mood is, but she didn't do that. She really went for your kind of rant, as it were, and it reminded me, by the way, of how American journalists on the main networks do these little homilies. It took me back right to Walter Cronkite and CBS in the past and the influence they had. So this is a departure for the BBC, but I think, as I say, it's because of the times in which we live. It kind of suits the public mood out there. Now, you're right, the public mood could go away. But the interesting thing about this, thinking about it over the last couple of days, is the way the public mood that was so much in favour of Boris, so much in favour of Brexit, and led to a huge general election victory, has suddenly moved away from him. He doesn't seem to be handling things very well. There was some sympathy with him when he caught COVID-19. But that's gone as well. And now, keeping on that is the thought of keeping this man in place when he's done that famous thing of not obeying rules that other people have stuck by and been urged to stick by Boris Johnson.
So, finally, Roy, this clash between media and government, and we're calling it full-on clash because today there's reports that the police force in Durham say, well, actually, the road trip to Barnard Castle did breach lockdown rules. Look, you know, politicians have to survive themselves, and throwing people under the bus is absolutely modus, you know, operandi. Do you think Dominic Cummins will survive and this will be a media victory at the end of the day?
You have to understand the incredible nature of his relationship with Boris Johnson. They are joined at the hip. No, they're joined actually at the lip. Boris doesn't operate and has never operated without advice from Dominic Cummings. If he loses him, he will lose the big intellectual, policy-making, thoughtful, intellectual backing of his government, of himself. So I think he will do everything he can to retain this man. But you're right, events are moving against him. And I was thinking back, if this had been a Labour government in power, I think there would have been no chance of them doing the same as he has done.
All right. As always, a pleasure to talk to Roy Greenslade, one of the finest analysts when it comes to media matters. Thank you for joining us on The Hard Shoulder.
The Hard Shoulder on News Talk
with Nissan. Together, let's play our part by staying apart. Nissan. Innovation that excites.